Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Well, I want to welcome you all today to Russell Road. My name is Lynn York. I've been coming since 2002. My plan was to get married in my 20s. Well, that wasn't his plan. And so I got married in my 30s. I get so emotional. To Kenny. And those are my kids. But anyway, through that process, I was part of a blended family instantly. And so I'm going to talk more about blended and blessed and a blended family. So it's not too late for you to sign up for blended and blessed. We're going to have this here next week, next Saturday at our church. And, you know, there's so many different kinds of blended families out there. So my blended family, Kenny had two boys. They were 5 and 4, I believe, when we got married. And so I became an instant mom. You know, I was sharing with the last service, you know, you think of God's design, you know, and that's okay. He can give us grace. But sometimes I can see, like, even if you had a honeymoon baby, you still had 9 months to kind of have some alone time and then have a child, and how that looks different with a blended family. You know, you could be, I'm a stepmom. You could be a stepdad. And I love Dave and Tanya Deitch. They've given great examples. Like, you could have adopted children, and now you're a blended family. And Dave, I don't know if he did he do the announcements this morning at the service? Okay. But he shared even in the last service, you know, that even two families, when you get married, you're really a blended family. Like, we're doing a marriage class, and I would say the majority of our couples have shared, we come from way different families. And guess what? In marriage, you've just now two blended families. So anybody can come to this. Even if you're single, I think it's great wisdom. The door is open. We'll have childcare. So I welcome you to think about that. So anyway, yes. So August 10th, doors will open at 8:30, and it starts at 9 and it goes to 3:30. We'll have, I think they priority said that, like a light breakfast, a light lunch, and there will be childcare. So if you do need childcare, just make sure you sign up. We just want to make sure we've got everything in place for you guys. So we welcome you. And it's a blessing because those speakers give so many different angles. It's almost flabbergasting to think of how many different stories are out there. But I learn best from different stories. Anybody like to read autobiographies or biographies? I do. I feel like I learn from people. I want to learn from different examples. And so that's what we're going to have. There's going to be, I haven't watched any of this, but we've done it 2 times before, and I feel like a lot of wisdom is given. And sometimes we need to see things in new lights because this is new to us. You know, so you're all welcome. Everybody's welcome to come. So Pastor Fred asked me to speak to kind of do a kickoff for Blended and Blessed, and the word that came to my mind was reconciliation. And so actually, let me back up real quick. Kenny had a revelation this morning, and I got to share it, in the laundry room. He said, even Jesus, Joseph was not his biological father. Like, he's, but you know, like, this is all part of families coming together. So anyway, yeah. I just thought that was a great example. And I was like, I'm getting goosebumps with him sharing that revelation. So anyway, I wanted to share that too. I didn't want to forget. But reconciliation, there's some words that we have in the Bible that I feel like we don't use in the common English language. And I think reconciliation is probably one of those. I don't know if I would ever even know that word or hear that word. So I want to give you a definition. And it's to make amends or come to a truce or settle a dispute. I wanted to bring that up because I think sometimes when you come into a blended family. And Kenny and I have been married over 11 years. So this has been a time in progress. You know, things don't happen instantly. A lot of things in life take time. So encourage, you know, I just want to encourage you, if you're newly married, things take time, you know. And that's just part of the process. But to think about when there's children involved, you know, I think it can be challenging for both partners, but I do think that maybe a step parent has a little bit more on their shoulders, because you're not the biological parent and there's no fault in a child. I think children want their biological parents to be together, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as a step parent, I think we have to keep that in mind and not take offense to that, or not to, you know, say we're taking the second fiddle, but to have that understanding. And there's more, I think, sometimes in a role of a step parent to make those amends, that you're definitely part of the process of your family to get unity. And don't worry, we're not without help. We, you know, as a believer in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit to come and counsel us and to give us truths along the way in this process, because it's complicated. I didn't come from a blended family. All this is new to me. I haven't read any really stories about blended families. So again, it's all a work in progress, but we're not alone. You know, thank the Lord, we are not alone. Also in the concordance, reconciles the original language. Means to change mutually, reconciliation, exchange, and I like this, restoration to divine favor. And so even though I'm going to have some elements with blended families, really this applies to all of our lives. You know, this is not just for a blended, but I'm going to incorporate some nuggets along the way for blended families as well. But restoration to divine favor and atonement, which means a payment. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. All right, I'm going to pray. Father, we just thank you so much for reconciliation. Thank you for taking the cross for us, Lord Jesus. I just pray today, Lord, that you would have your way. God, that you would show us more about reconciliation. Show us what our part is in reconciliation, and that you lead and guide us. And thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Thank you for your presence. We just ask for more of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking, Pastor Fred's been talking about command and control, but I guess I do. The only thing that I really want to control me, I hope that's true, is the love of Christ. That is actually a good type of control, to have the love of Christ controlling or compelling us to do things. And when I looked up that word in the King James, it's constraineth, and it means to hold together, to compress. And in parentheses, it says the ears. And I've shared this before one other time, but I really like this. I feel like it's a good kind of analogy. So back in the day, some of us may have used headphones. And now, anybody got AirPods? Who uses AirPods? Surely there's multiple people. Anyway, but a lot of us will use AirPods. Like I know, you know, even in workplaces, it can be really loud. And if they allow you, you can wear those AirPods. And all of a sudden, that noise is drowned out because you're listening to something else. Like growing up, doing chores, I never liked to do chores. But if I had some music on, that helped me. I liked that. And so I love that Jesus wants, when there's noise going out a part of our lives that's clamoring for our attention, think about that. Put in the AirPods, and Jesus wants us to be in tune with his love.
Right.
Don't respond, you know, in certain ways, which I think we're all prone to do. And we need grace for that love of Christ to control us. Now, I think love is a vital place in reconciling. And as I was thinking about it, you know, to make amends, I don't think we can really reconcile without love. Love has to be, I think, a vital part, or at least for it to be genuine and to come into fruition, there has to be love. And, you know, what did Jesus say? How's the world going to know we're his disciples? By the way we love. By the way we love. And there's going to be some tests, and I'm going to read a verse here later that's always a good reminder of love is not easy. You know, love is patient. Love is actually long. That's the first one. God chose that. Long suffering. I think he was very intentional because our Father in heaven's pretty patient. He's pretty long. He's long suffering with us, and he continues the course in love. So, but what we need, thankfully, we can't really love apart from him. 1 John 4:19 says we love because he first loved us. So I think at times, and it was even good for me to be preparing this message, because we can get caught up in the busyness of life and not meditate on God's love. And, you know, I don't know what that looks like so much from a day-to-day basis, but that's something that I don't think we should go without meditating on frequently. You know, is how much the Lord loves us. You know, some of us came from good families where we know love, and some of us came from pretty broken families. I work with kids that I know they don't come from loving families, and that's so hard, but I really believe that God's love can transcend whatever we've gone through.
Yes.
And go right to our hearts.
Yeah.
He knows how to love.
Yeah.
He's the author of love. He is love.
Hallelujah.
And so if you have a broken heart today, you can ask the Lord to show you his love. I am so convinced that's part of his will. He wants us to know his love. And that's what changes us. We have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. We want to know it and believe it and receive it. And I know sometimes there can be blockages, and that goes beyond my understanding, but I really believe that if you ask for God's help to know his love, he wants to do that. So again, we can't really be motivated without love. We need Jesus's love. And I'm so thankful it's a divine love. It's not a love that I've contrived. Love, thankfully, was in the picture before I came on the planet Earth. God already had written a love story out. He knows what our hearts need. I also want us to turn to Ephesians 3:17-19. And it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. And I love that, all the saints. He wants us all to know it, not just one or two. He wants the whole family of God to know his love, all the saints. What is the width and the length and the depth and the height? Can you get more descriptive than that? I mean, it's going everywhere. This love is going everywhere to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It goes beyond what we can comprehend. Hallelujah. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Amen.
So when I just see that as a pouring of God's love into our hearts, and that's going to be filling us. So if you're in a blended family, there may be times that you don't feel loved. You know, you may feel like you're the odd person out, you know, and that to go back to the source of love so that you can keep that unity going, because that's where what we really need. The other thing that I want to share is the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that the Trinity has love for one another. So if we can do John 14, this is going to be 15-17, and this is Jesus speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I love that. In you. That's amazing. The God of the universe, Jesus, you believe him, you receive him, he is in you.
Amen.
And now we've got the Holy Spirit. We are not alone. All these things coming at us, we've got the Spirit of truth. He's never going to lie to us. He's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. And then if we can go on to verse 20-21, and that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me. And that's us. And I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So again, I love all of that. You, within the Trinity, I feel like you see an honoring. And we were just talking, we were having a discussion of this yesterday, that I don't know if our world, you really see honor. You almost have to teach honor, I feel like. But I love that the Trinity has an example of that. The Father is honoring the Son. He says about Jesus, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." I love that. And Jesus is giving glory to the Father. He's always honoring the Father and the Holy Spirit. And because of that, there is unity. There is no sin within the Trinity. There's none. They're all on the same page. Can you imagine being on the same page all the time? Like, that's beautiful. And as I was thinking of that, I'm like, man, that's why God says where there's unity, God commands the blessing, because it comes from Him. He's the author of that love. There is love. There's no conflicting thoughts. The Trinity is on the same page. And that's what He wants within our body of Christ. He wants us to be on the same page. That's what He wants in our families, in our marriages. He wants us to be of the same mind. That's what Paul talks about. But we can't. You know, I even think about Peter saying to Jesus, "I don't want you to go to the cross." In his mind, that's what he was thinking. Like, "I love you, Jesus." But those are the things at times that don't make sense to us, that we have to submit to what the Lord's perspective is to get that unity. And it may be hard. It may be trying at times. But there's so much security. You know, I give that as an example as well. Like, the Trinity will never break up. Within the Trinity, there's not going to be that. You know, and at times I feel like even as children, and if you've experienced, you know, divorce and breakup, you know, I just can see how God has wired that within us. That they like a permanent covenant, and that is what's going on with our God, thankfully. So we can learn from Him. But God's love is also action. And so in Romans 5:8, it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So love also is action. And it can be at times a harder action. In verse 15, it says, actually, I want to back up. So sometimes I think we learn as well from opposites. So we want to embody love. But we have to think of things like, what within me is halting love? So if we look at that, you know, even within in a blended family, you know, I think offense can halt love. And that's even goes beyond families even. You know, that can go into your workplace. That can go with any relationships. But what are the things in our lives that can halt love? And so I'm going to give some examples and be vulnerable. You know, I want to be, my prayer is, Lord, help me to communicate in a way that's honoring. So again, I grew up not in a blended family, so all this was new. But I would say the experience we've had with the other family has been very contentious. That is the word, contentious. And I've never experienced anything in my life like it. And so sometimes I can have like a justice thing within me and a fairness, which is not the gospel. It's not how the Lord does. But I tell you, I've never been, I think, lit like a match before with my emotions with another family. And so I still want to be careful. But as I've looked back, those were things that I think that I was allowing to get into my heart was bitterness. There were times the actions done against, I just kind of went. It's almost like a snowball effect. You know, it's like, and then, you know, it's like you want to think about it, stay there, even kind of come up with your own comebacks, all this stuff. But man, that is when a root of bitterness can come in.
Yeah, yeah.
And for you blended families, I feel like kids can sense that as well. So you have to be mindful. I think that is, you know, as we talk about, do not be ignorant of the schemes of the evil one.
Right.
That's a scheme right there. That is something that wants to come in. And thankfully, we can come in and ask the Lord for help for that. So, you know, he's had to correct me in that, you know. And so a good remedy for this is Matthew 5:43, but it says, "You have heard," and this is the New Living Translation, so this is Matthew 5:43, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say love your enemies." This is when the test is going to come, and it's going to see if this love that Jesus said, that's what's going to shine. It's loving through the heart, loving through the hard times. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. Okay, so stop. That's our first line of defense. We feel like we're being persecuted. That's going to help not get that root of bitterness going on, but to start actively praying for that person, praying for those that persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love, this is so convicting to me. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Oh, isn't it so easy to love people who love you? That's where our flesh wants to be. Oh, because that's easy and it feels good. But man, even Jesus goes on and he knows how to speak to us. Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Right. And again, thankfully, that's his divine love. That's not a love that I can contrive. But I do believe that is a remedy for helping to halt where love wants to come in and be halted, to start praying. And don't ever give up on praying. Anybody know that song by Matthew West? Don't stop praying. That is so true. Sometimes we want to get discouraged. We don't see anything changing. Or you're so overwhelmed, but don't stop praying. I love it. Just, Lily, I'm going to use you as an example. We had this week, I'm thankful I get to be home a little bit more, and Lucas too. We get to have a little time in the morning of devotions. And Lily asked a good question, or she made a comment. She was like, but Mommy, I've never heard God speak to me. And I said, you know what? But when you pray, God can fill your mind with ideas. Right. He really can. Yeah. And so that's what we have to be expectant of. Yeah. You know, that it may not be this audible voice, but that he can put things in our minds that are from him and our kingdom related. And then that's how he's going to speak. And we want to continue to cultivate that. Something else that I feel like is helpful, which I've heard on podcasts along the way, you know, we get any moms out there that feel stressed out or being pulled in every direction. Well, that's at times when more of my flesh can come out and I can be a little grumpy and I'll have to ask the kids. I'll tell them I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I feel like that's a good reconciliation. You're actually demonstrating to your kids that you're not always perfect, that you have to ask for forgiveness, you know, and that actually kind of deals with the pride in our own lives as well. Because that is something else that can come and halt love is pride. And pride can take many different forms. And at times it can even be in our perspective. So I have another example where many times I'm looking for something in the house and we have four children and I'm thinking, who moved this? Where did it go? I need it now, you know, and I'm like, who moved it? Well, I'm doing the Blake Shelton move. It was me. I can't tell you how many times I'm thinking that somebody else did, and it is me. Not one time, not two times, not three times. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm like, Lord, it was me. And here I am wanting to blame somebody else, but the blame's on me. And that's so hard for us to do. So that's something that I actually heard from a podcast this week. And we have to say, sometimes stop and take a step back, draw a circle around ourselves and say, where am I in the wrong? And that's when, and Pastor Fred's talked about that, there's blind spots that we have that we don't even know. And guess what? When you were thinking it was somebody else and it's you. I'm in the wrong. I had something just, God wants me to speak about this because I just even had this happen this week. And this is apart from our family of in my mind, I've been seeing different things and I'm putting things together and I'm thinking the things that I'm putting together is a fact. Well, something happened last night that again, God showed me your perspective is wrong. you are in the wrong. And we have to be open to that. We have to be open. I encourage you. It's so hard. We all struggle with our pride. Lord, show me, where am I in the wrong? And that's an amazing thing that I feel like things can start to get into motion, because the Lord says to clothe yourself with humility. So that's what we have to do first before that grace is even going to get to us. But if we clothe ourselves with that, and I feel like that quiets our heart too, to know I need forgiveness. I'm not perfect. I want forgiveness extended to me. And so that helps keep that flow of the love. So again, those we want to be rooted and grounded in love. I kind of bypassed that. But again, to be grounded. So teenagers, that's not being banned. But being grounded in his love is also being sensible. That helps our minds. And it helps our minds to see things correctly. Because I think we all can get warped views on things. That in our minds, we're really sure we're accurate. But we're not. Take it from me. I've fallen a prey to that many, many a times. We're going to go back to 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to now verse 15. And this says, "And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." Again, Jesus did it on their behalf. And this is convicting. I've been walking with the Lord for a while, but at times I'm like, Lord, do I still live for myself? And I feel like sometimes that's where that command and control even comes to. Sometimes us, we want to command and control our own lives and not be open to what the Holy Spirit's doing. And that's so hard at times because we can get busy in the busy trap. And, you know, and I feel like that can be a hardening of hearts at times, that we have to kind of be aware of that. Like, Lord, I do want to seek first your kingdom. Amen. And so that's even being mindful in the morning. Okay, Lord, help me to be open to whatever you're going to do on this day, that I can walk by your Spirit. Because you may have things planned that I don't have planned. As I've shared, I've had many plans for my life, and God's had different plans. But we wanna be open to that, and there's so much blessing on living on his behalf. All right, and then on now for 2 Corinthians 5:16, this is the New Living Translation. It says, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How different we know him now." And I just still think that's that divine nature of Christ, you know, and that we as people can, we're all humans. We need to remember none of us are perfect and to extend that grace. Now going on to the next verse, I love this verse. It says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." And that's so true of all of us, that when we are a new creature, just a new building even in Christ. And he's doing that too. If you're in a blended family, I would encourage you to start speaking that over your family, you know, for him to do new things. But the old things have passed away. And I stopped. It's so good when you stop and kind of meditate and think about things, because I was like, okay, what do we know that has passed away? Well, usually a phrase that we say here, if somebody's died, they've passed away. They are no longer present on this earth, and that God wants those old things in our lives to be passed away. Not to resurrect those old things, you know, whether those are old habits or old patterns. Only the truth and truthfulness
can save us. You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. "Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you." Have a blessed week.